since we just had Thanksgiving and we're starting Advent next week, as Dan mentioned, wanted to take a look at a passage on giving thanks this morning. And I acknowledge, too, that Thanksgiving this year may have been different for many of us. It may be a hard time to give thanks, but my prayer is that through this passage, we will see all the ways that God has been good to us and that we would grow in thankfulness no matter the circumstances. And one particular time that I remember being thankful was when I first moved to Philadelphia. I moved into a big house with lots of wonderful roommates and two of the best dogs you could ever imagine. I paid very little to rent a room there, but I had access to the whole house. And the landlords actually, the people that own the house actually lived there too. And they were just amazingly generous people. They shared everything from food to furniture to books to kitchenware. And I just remember being kind of overwhelmed with thankfulness for being there. And as many reasons as I had to be thankful for the living situation that I had there, what actually made me even more thankful was where I had come from. I had moved directly out of a kind of a dark and dusty old house where I was living by myself. There were bats in the attic and raccoons in the roof. There was no heat in the bathroom. And whenever I took a shower, the water would rush down through the floor and land on my coworker's desk on the first floor where I worked during the day. So I had to take bucket showers, which if you're not familiar with a bucket shower, it's when you fill up a bucket with water and use that to shower instead of the shower head. And this is in the bathroom with no heat, of course. So I had come from there. So when I moved to Philadelphia and moved into this great house with people and pets and life and heat in the bathroom, I was just overwhelmed by thankfulness for being there. And I remember feeling like I need to do something to like deserve being there. I just need to do more. I did pay rent, but it was only very little bit. But I quickly realized that the owners would have none of that. All I could do was say thanks. And so in the passage that Andy read for us this morning, the people that Jesus meets were in a really bad situation, much more dark and dire and lonely than the living situation that I came out of. And Jesus heals them. But the crazy thing is that only one of the lepers comes back to thank Jesus. He recognized what Jesus saved him from, and so he couldn't help but say thanks to Jesus. So the big idea from our passage this morning, and it comes from verse 15, is that we should be thankful to God. Be thankful to God. And how? How can we be thankful to God? We're going to see three ways. One, acknowledge your need. Two, acknowledge your sin. And three, acknowledge your Savior. So the first way we see how to be thankful to God in this passage is by acknowledging our need to God and asking him for help. But where do we see that in the passage? Well, look with me at verses 11 to 14. They're going to be up on the screen so you can follow along as I read. On the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. So Jesus is heading to Jerusalem with his disciples when he's met by these 10 lepers as he enters a village. And lepers were people who had one variety of skin diseases, and they were isolated from their communities that they were a part of for a number of reasons, but one of them being kind of fear of being contagious, catching their disease. The skin disease could be quite painful and also brought about the added pain of being just socially and physically distant and isolated from their communities and families. They were people who were physically and socially suffering and in need of help and healing. And so what do these lepers do? Well, they meet Jesus. They come to him. They stand at a distance and ask Jesus for mercy. And in verse 14, Jesus hears their request, and he has mercy on them. Jesus stops and takes the time to see them and to hear these hurting, ostracized people who so desired mercy and he was merciful to them. Don't miss that. See what Jesus does here. See how good he is. He is compassionate and merciful. He sees and he heals them. He shows them mercy. Well, I imagine the experience of these lepers might not be as hard to imagine now as it may have been at the beginning of this year. These people seriously understood the term social distance, probably even more than we do now. Like someone who is very sick and knows that they need to acknowledge their need, and go to the hospital and get help and treated for COVID, these lepers left their isolation and came to the village to ask Jesus for help. And while COVID is a very real thing that we need to ask God for mercy from, there are plenty of other things that we need to ask God for help with too, both big and small. So my question for you is, do you ask God for the things that you need help with? Do you come to him with your cares and needs? Or do you rather get busy trying to fix things on your own? Or maybe just come to him in desperation or even begrudgingly? The cares that we bring to God can be big things like a strained relationship or the health of a loved one, or maybe a potential big change in your life about a new job to take or whether to get married, whether to have kids, or when to retire. It can also be smaller things, like an everyday stressful situation at work or at home, or even your lost keys. These are things that we think about, so we should bring them to God. We should bring him our needs in any and all situations, because he is compassionate and merciful. Well, this came up for me last week. I was, I had this sermon in my head, I was at work. I work at an online Christian bookstore, and I was kind of frantically hurrying to make some changes to some big orders to try to get them out on time. And while I was feeling kind of particularly stressed, the Lord reminded me of this very passage that I had been reading and looking at. And so I was able to stop and pray and ask God for help. And the funny thing was, like, I still needed to work hard to get those out. I still did that. But when I stopped and prayed, and then when the orders did get out on time, it just increased the depth of my thankfulness to God. I realized, like, each thing that I'm doing, even just typing on a keyboard, that's a gift that comes from God. He is the one that makes us able to do that. And so when I acknowledged my need for him in all those, in every little task I had to do, it just made me more thankful, and I saw all the ways that God provided for me at that time. And if we stop and think about it, God gives us so many good things that we don't even ask for. And we can and should be thankful for those things. But whether we acknowledge our need to God or not, the reality is that we are needy people who owe our every breath to God. He's the one who created us. So instead of working hard to take control or hurrying to do the things that we need to do, we can actually stop fighting reality and acknowledge our need to God and ask for his help. Ask him for what you need. Asking him only grows our joy and trust in him as we see him answer our prayers, and it swells our hearts in thankfulness to him as our eyes are opened more and more to all the ways that he provides for us each and every day. So one way we seem to be thankful to God in this passage is by acknowledging our need to him. We just looked at that. But there's more going on here than just physical and social needs. And this brings us to our second point. Acknowledge your sin. How can we be thankful to God? Acknowledge your sin. So look back with me over the verses that we just read. They're going to be up on the screen as well. We're not going to read them again, but they're there so you can follow along. In addition to being isolated from the communities that they were part of because of the possibility of being contagious, lepers were isolated for another reason as well. According to God's law in the Old Testament, they were unclean and could not be where God dwelt, which was in the camp where the rest of the people lived. So one of the places we see this in the Old Testament is in Numbers 5, 1 to 4. I'll read that now. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Command the people of Israel that they put out of the camp everyone who is leprous or has a discharge, and everyone who is unclean through contact with the dead. You shall put out both male and female, putting them outside the camp. that they may not defile their camp in the midst of which I dwell. So God is holy and cannot have any uncleanness in his midst. And so those with leprosy were separated from God's dwelling place among his people. They were people who were not only physically and socially suffering, but also spiritually isolated and suffering. They even had to call out unclean, unclean, whenever they were going to be around other people. Think about that for a second. Can you imagine what that would be like to have to declare yourself as unclean every time you were around somebody else? I mentioned earlier that these lepers coming to Jesus was kind of like someone acknowledging their need, how sick they were with COVID, and going to the hospital for help. But what's going on here is also kind of like going to the hospital and publicly announcing your sins. And as crazy as that sounds, it highlights the reality that our sin is actually a much more urgent and life-threatening sickness than leprosy or even COVID. The reality is that we have more in common with the lepers than just an understanding of what social distance is like. Like the lepers, in our sin, we are unclean and separated from God. Since God is perfect and holy, any sin that enters his midst would be destroyed. So in order to be with him, we would need to be perfect. But if we're honest, we know we're not. We know ourselves to be sinners. We know the little ways that we seek our own good instead of the good of others. And we know the ways that we keep God at arm's length. Or maybe you're very aware of your sin. Maybe you know that you've really messed up and are feeling an overwhelming sense of shame. That no matter what you do, like the lepers, you can't evade the sense that you're unclean or dirty. See this with me, that verse 14 has good news for us. Jesus hears their request, he sees them, and he has mercy on them. He sees these hurting, ostracized, unclean people who so desired mercy, and he was merciful to them. He knows the Old Testament law, he knows they're unclean, and he even tells them to go to the priests out of obedience to the Old Testament law. And in his mercy, he decides to grant their requests and make them clean. So, my question for those of you who might be feeling good about yourself this morning, about your good bank account, your good looks, your good talents, maybe your good theology, or about your good behavior, is, have you acknowledged that you are sick with sin? Have you acknowledged to God that you bring nothing good to him on your own, but rather uncleanness and a need for mercy? The application here is to confess. And confessing just means agreeing with God about your sin. I'm not saying that you should start loudly announcing your sins everywhere that you go, but have you acknowledged to God that you are a sinner and you need his mercy? And if you have and you're following Jesus, do you acknowledge your sin and your need for mercy each day? Pastor and author Tibidi Anyabwile, in writing about this passage, says this, and it's going to be up on the screen as well so you can follow along. Perhaps two things should happen with each of us every morning when we wake. If nothing else, we should first say to the Lord, "Thank you for waking me this morning." Then second, we should pray, "Lord, have mercy." And this isn't out of an attempt to make ourselves feel bad about ourselves. It's just an acknowledgement that we are needy people, that we need Jesus, and we're trusting that he gives mercy to those who ask. So Jesus is ready to give mercy to those who acknowledge their sin and their need for him. If you've never acknowledged your sin to Jesus and your need for his mercy and forgiveness, will you give him your sin and receive his forgiveness today? Today. And if you have received his forgiveness, will you acknowledge your sin and your need for him each and every day and trust that he is waiting and ready to give you mercy and grace? In addition to having a time each day to pray and confess your sins to God, you can actually also quickly and specifically confess your sins to God throughout the day when you sin. You can tell God, "I sinned in this specific way. Father, I was anxious at work. about these orders that needed to go out. I was not trusting you. Will you forgive me? Will you help me to move forward and trust in you? And you can receive his forgiveness for you. Not out of a need to be made right with God again and again. No, not that at all. But because we've already been made right with God. And so can freely confess to him and move forward and move toward him rather than away. Another way to do this is to confess to others. You can do this with your spouse, roommate, or a friend. But one specific way I want to highlight that you can do this is to join a city group where we have regular times to bring our sin into the open before each other and to be reminded of Jesus' mercy and grace for us. And this may sound a little scary, but it's actually really freeing. I've personally benefited from this. There was one time at the end of last year where I was feeling just bitter towards my previous boss and had been holding on to that for a long time. And it was at a night where we were able to confess sins as a city group with the guys in our city group, where I was just able to confess that and be reminded of God's mercy and forgiveness for me in that. And also to be encouraged to reconcile with my boss and to ask him for forgiveness. And so kind of through that, through the encouragement of the guys, my city group, I was able to eventually talk to my boss, and be reconciled. And I am really so thankful for how God used my city group at the time in that way. And for those of you who are hearing this and thinking, again, I am very aware of my sin and failures, and who may be feeling the pervasive shame that sin can bring, the application is the same here. Confess. But not out of a sense to be of trying to be right with God, but in agreeing with God about your sin and coming to Jesus. It's not out of a sense of, making yourself feel worse, but just acknowledging what you're thinking and feeling, acknowledging your sin to God, and knowing that he loves to give mercy to those who ask. So you can come to Jesus, our merciful Savior, for his strong and tender mercy. Our sin actually makes us want to run and hide away from God. But Jesus wants us to come to him, and he can make you clean so we can come to him. Well, at this point, you might be thinking, I thought this was a sermon about giving thanks to God, but I haven't heard too much about that yet. Well, have you noticed in your life that it's the people who do for you the things that you can't do for yourself that you're most thankful for? So until we actually understand the reality of our need and our sin, our thankfulness to God will stay shallow and momentary at best. But now, since we've looked at acknowledging our need and acknowledging our sin, take a look with me at the second part of our passage. Here we will see our third point, that we should be thankful to God by acknowledging our Savior. So look with me, the verses will be up on the screen, at verses 15 to 19. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice, and he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Now he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus answered, "Were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." So when one of the lepers who saw that he was healed, the one who was a Samaritan, he saw that he was healed, and in his joy he came back to Jesus, praising God and giving thanks to Jesus. And Jesus points out the irony here, that this man, the only one who is a Samaritan, an outsider to the people of God, that he's the only one who comes back to Jesus. And in verse 19, Jesus says, "Rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." And the phrase "made you well" here, it actually literally means "has saved you." So there's a double meaning here. This man has been physically saved from his disease, but he's also been saved from his uncleanness, and he's been made right with God. But this raises a question. What about the other 9? Did they have faith? They were cleansed from their leprosy, but they didn't come back to thank Jesus or give praise to God. And it's clear from this passage that they were healed from their leprosy. And it seems that they had faith to believe that they could ask Jesus for mercy and he could heal them. But only the Samaritan thanks Jesus and praises God. And though we don't know for certain, we are to follow the example of the Samaritan. And we are left with the impression that the Samaritan is the one who experiences the greater healing of being made right with God through saving faith in Jesus. It seems the nine believed out of a chance to get what they wanted. And when they got it, they didn't even turn back to say thank you. But the one, though overjoyed at his healing, would rather be nowhere else than at Jesus' feet, praising and thanking God. Church, it's so easy to be like the nine lepers. I often find myself being anxious about something going on in the day. Maybe I will stop and pray about it in the midst of a hectic day. But if it goes well, it's painfully rare the amount of times that I actually thank God for that. I'm so quick to see that it went well and to be able to kind of move on out of that hard situation that I don't see all the ways that God is providing these good things for me each and every day. What I am really wanting in those moments is wanting Jesus to give me the things that I want more than I want him. I'm wanting the gifts that he gives rather than Jesus, the giver. So what about you? Do you want God or his good gifts? Do you want to receive a comfortable life from God more than you want to be forgiven and be right with God? And do you give thanks to God when he answers your prayers? The application here is really simple, just to thank God. Our gratitude reveals our faith or lack of faith. So if you haven't yet turned to God and asked him to forgive you for your sins and to make you right with him because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for you, would you see Jesus in this passage? See his mercy for you? See our need and our sin? And would you just come to him? Would you agree with God about your sin and ask Jesus for mercy and then thank him and follow him with a thankful heart? He's ready and waiting today. And if you're a follower of Christ and things are going pretty well for you, that's a great thing. So fall at Jesus' feet and give him thanks. Thank him for the mercy he has shown you and shows you every day. And if you are not finding yourself thankful, would you ask yourself, are you like the saved Samaritan or more like the nine others? Is God's grace amazing to you? And is the gospel great news to you? Or is it just okay? Our thankfulness is evidence of our salvation. It doesn't save us, but it shows that we recognize our sin and our need for Jesus and have trusted that we are forgiven and made right with God in Jesus. Jesus elsewhere says, he who is forgiven little loves little. And in this passage, we see that the person who is saved from much will be overwhelmed with thankfulness to God. And if you are a follower of Christ and you're coming in today and maybe you're feeling burdened by sin or weary from hard things in your life, my encouragement is that you can be honest with God about those things. You can be honest with God about your sin. You can be honest with God about the hard things in your life. You can bring them to him. Jesus wants us to bring those to him. You can be honest about what hurts. You can be honest about where you failed. And then still thank him for saving you from your sin and for the things he has given you. He doesn't always guarantee to bring physical healing or answer our specific prayers in the ways that we want. But if you're a follower of Christ, he always answers with what you need. Most clearly, he has given you salvation and is making you more like Jesus. And that is a great reason to thank him. But if you're anything like me, being thankful to God isn't actually very easy to do. God is infinitely gracious, but we are ungrateful people. And even on our best days, we only show our gratitude for such a small amount of the gifts that God gives us. So how are we to become people marked by and overflowing with gratitude for what Jesus has done for us? We bring our ingratitude to him. We bring our ingratitude to him. When Jesus prayed to the Father the night before he was crucified, he asked that this cup might pass, that he might not have to bear the suffering of going to the cross, but that God's will, but he wanted God's will to be done more than the relief of his own suffering. And on the cross, God did not answer Jesus' cry for mercy. Though Jesus was perfectly grateful, he bore the penalty and the suffering for our ingratitude. On the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And like the lepers who were separated from God and his people, Jesus took on our uncleanness caused by our sin. And he took on our uncleanness so that we could be made clean, and so we could receive the mercy that he did not receive. And he rose so that we could be made well with God, sitting at his feet, praising him in perfect joy. So are you ungrateful? Do you struggle with gratitude? Turn to Jesus and his perfect gratefulness and bring your ingratitude to him. Acknowledge your need for God, that all things come from him and you can do nothing apart from him. Acknowledge your sin, that you are a sinner, that you have sinned, and that your sin separates you from God, a holy God. And acknowledge your Savior, your wonderful Savior. Ask Jesus for mercy to save you from your sins and to make you more and more like him each day. And then simply thank him for being compassionate and merciful and for showing mercy to you. And one final application here. Verse 15 says that the Samaritan leper, when he saw that he was healed, he praised God with a loud voice. So in a minute here, I'm going to pray, and JP is going to come back up to lead us in worship as we continue worshiping in song. But if you've been made clean by Jesus, would you sing praise and thanks to him with a loud voice? It doesn't matter that we don't have a big band here. We have been saved from much. And best of all, we get to be with Jesus. No distance, no shame, just grace and mercy and thanks. Father, we thank you for the mercy that you have shown us in Jesus and for all of the ways that you provide for us each day. Father, I ask that through your word, through this passage, if there's any of us here who are just sort of bored with the gospel, Father, would you show us our need for you and our sin? Would you make the gospel great news to us because it is great news? Or would you soften our hearts to overflow and burst in thankfulness to you, that we would recognize the depth of our need for you and the depth of what you've done for us in Christ, and that we would live lives of thankfulness. And Father, for anyone here who is hurting and weighed down by their sin, I pray that you would show them your tender mercy, that they would see you more clearly, Jesus, that they don't have to hide, that they can come to you. If you give, you delight to give mercy. Lord, would you overflow all of our hearts in thankfulness to you for what you've done for us in Christ this morning as we go out from here, that we would live lives of thankfulness to you, and that people would see our thankfulness and see you, Jesus, that they would see their need for you and come to you to give you mercy and praise, falling at your feet. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.